Okay, so Ion, Sheila, soon, a few weeks back, or maybe more than that, I don't know, time, but I asked Ion what it is that we could all do, you know, right for our ascension process, and he mentioned put on the armor of God. So
no, we most certainly did not. We said put on the whole armor of God.
Whole armor of God. So, the armor being the helmet of salvation.
Salvation, breaking up, yes.
The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the garment of sense, cloak of zeal, feet shod with peace, and the sword of and the shield of faith. I had done a concordance on the cloak of zeal because you didn't give specific references, so I was just wondering if I could get some references. Because the one I have right now, not the usual Isaiah 59:16, is Romans 10:2.
That's
limited, sure
but from a Romans perspective, but it'll work. You can apply it, darling.
Okay, and may I have some more references?
We'll develop those first. More ain't going to help you till you get the ones you got.
Okay, well, the first thing, I guess, would be to define the word zeal, which is an ardent interest in pursuit of something. So we're talking about...
That's a pretty
about,
sloppy definition, don't you think, darling?
It seemed to be, but this is the definition in Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? What do you say about the definition?
It's spotty.
But you know what the definition of is, Sasha, say it.
Well, the spot. Well, if I would think about putting on a cloak of zeal, it would run in line with that. Although eager and ardent interest seem to undermine that sense. What? But I don't know if you could care to define it further, that would be much appreciated.
You gotta develop it more than that, darling.
I've got a definition of zeal further.
You're asking is from limitation. So ask it from a different... Get to the point of a cloak of zeal and its application, and it can flow. Because you're trying to hem it up as the relegated thing of an action to take without even knowing. You asked us, is there something we can do to benefit or best benefit our ascension process? We said, put on the whole armor of God. Well, you're the creator, so you got to develop it. Now, we'll help, but just drowning worms ain't going to catch you a fish.
Hmm.
Bait us, darling.
Okay, well, specifically, so what you're saying, therefore, is it separating them in this way, not necessarily serving me?
Well, yeah, correct, but that's okay. We'll let you do that, because don't worry about obsolescing, because when you retrieve it, it'll put it back together. So we have no trouble there, but go at it a pinpointed status, the degree of the whole process. You got the information, did you not?
Sorry, you're breaking up.
No, you are breaking up, darling.
Could you repeat that?
Yes. Go into your Romans reference and develop it from there, and that'll help you, and then you can lay a foundation, because at this point, you got nothing to piss into.
Okay, I get what you're saying now. For Romans 10:2, for I then witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
There you go. See, that's the difference in power and authority, and that cloak makes a clear separation or delineation.
Okay.
Yes?
Okay. Yes.
Not okay, yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
And if not, then that's exactly where you poke at it.
Yes.
Good.
Well, I witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Yes. Would there be references beyond that?
Keep look, you said you were in the concordance.
Oh, sorry. I made a separate little site page thing. So let me call the concordance.
Go to Strong.
Strong?
Yeah, concordance. Strong's concordance.
Okay.
Gonna make you work for it, baby. So
that
them deer will start barking for you as well.
Okay. Familiarize myself. I want to make sure. Okay. King James Version.
Joy, send her your concordance. Jenny Bell, give her the concordance so she can find what she's trying to get to.
Okay, there's 11, there are even results.
Strong.
This is Strong. There are 11
okay.
verses with referencing of zeal and a scene referencing zeal. Which would you prefer I go to?
Number one.
Second Samuel 21:2.
Now, bless God, you getting it. Now you get it. You get the Kings and Chronicles and Samuel. Now you're going to find out. Good. Now look here, see, this is what a God does. They find out for theyself.
And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, of the remnant of the Amorites.
Oh, of the whom?
Amorites.
Amorites are very significant. There's a significance there. Draw the connection with the Coathanites. We don't want to distract you, but we don't want to distract you. But now hear this connection. Because you know the significance of the Coathanites. Now read the rest of your verse with that in your knower.
Okay. And and the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children
the remnant,
of Israel...
The remnant of the Amorites. Remnant.
Right. And the children of Israel born unto them... And Saul sought to slay them in zeal to the children of Israel and Judah.
Mm-hmm. Now that gets that's your connection. The Judah aspect hooks you right back into the Coathanites. Levitical order.
Okay.
So now you've got there's your aha moment, darling, just in number one. Now go to number two.
Right. 2 Kings
19:21. Oh, Kings and Chronicles. Oh, how wonderful. This is... Oh, it's getting good now. Oh, mercy, Lord. Oh, we're going to get through the books of Moses, and then we're going to see how it goes, huh?
For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant.
Furlongs northeast exactly. Bob, what the hell's the matter with you? Bob would be on this like a black stink on shit. Where is Bob?
Okay.
Bobala.
No, I'm letting. I don't want to take over. Let Sasha discover.
Take over. We can't function without your bashing.
Okay. Well, I'm taking
did
a few minutes.
Did you get that
off.
Reference? Did you get just so you Palmer?
Hey Sue,
get that,
Sue,
Palmer,
take over
Palmer,
my bashing
Palmer,
for me, Sue. You're good at that.
Palmer.
What the
Palmer.
Reference to fur loins?
Oh, furry lint.
Fur long.
Is that referring to furry lint?
Furry lint.
No, Bob, did you not actually participate in cash flow today?
No, it was a difficult show for me.
Oh, I see. Well,
I couldn't hear half of it. It came out of a squeaky cell phone. I didn't know what was being said.
I like the fur loin.
Furry loins?
Furry lint. I'm actually cutting and pasting your furry lint note right now when you said furry lint or furling. So
join the crowd here. We're going to dock you.
Well, what do I got to do with this? What's this furry loin stuff, Carol?
Bob.
Carol, do we know? Do we talk about furry loins, Carol?
You're getting to the essence of the coaphonites and the connection of where they all came from Syria. If you're damn interested, but it makes no difference to us.
Yeah, don't worry about me. Carry on, Sasha. Whoever's leading this topic, go ahead.
Everybody knows.
We're still on 2 Kings 19:31. Out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this.
Is that a Z or a Z or an S?
A Z.
Interesting. It changes. It is Zion.
Is this referring to the ascended ones that came from Samaria or that bordered near?
Well, of course. Right. Of course.
Yeah, that's why Bob,
course,
you're getting excited
course,
about Bob
course,
not getting
course.
It.
Here we go. The horse, of course. Unless the horse, okay. of course, the
we're part of the Bible.
Spirit.
Where are we? Samuel 2:7? Is that where we are?
Balderdash. 11:14.
Balderdash. This Habuka. We haven't gotten to Habuka yet.
That rhymes with Habaka, doesn't it, Bob?
Yeah, that's where the barking deer are.
Oh, that's what you take a chow of, is of Habaka.
Okay, I might feign to take an interest. Sasha, where are you?
Uh-oh. Now, yeah,
I mean,
we told you it's going to end in tears.
Have I come in?
2 Kings 19:31. I honestly was going through the concordance. It appears that Isaiah 37:32 has exactly the same verse.
So it's obsolesced and retrieved then. Bob's not that
right.
Foreign for Bob.
Yeah, what'd you say, Sasha? 2 Kings, which one?
2 Kings 19.
Yeah.
1:9:31.
Look, Ginny hasn't said anything the whole thing. Like, what's she saying about this?
She's just letting you waller in it, Bob.
For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. We've talked about the remnants. That's in the Asher listing we did a couple hours ago.
Do,
I heard that part.
Do.
And they that escape out of Mount Zion, that's Maui, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this.
The
Lord of hosts. That's
now
James. That's James. That's
James.
That's cash flow.
Yeah, okay. You're talking about the zeal. Now you're talking about the cloak of zeal.
He's the top rated host at Achieve Radio. He's the top host. He's the lord of all the hosts. He's got the most popular show, thanks to us. This refers to James.
Lord have mercy.
The zeal.
Steve, you're going to have to roll JW, fatty. Oh, and this pop keeps on. It's going to go south. Go ahead. Okay. Now. You're getting somewhere, Sash. Go ahead, baby.
Okay. The next reference is Psalm 69:9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproach of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me.
Wait, what chapter was that?
Psalm 69:9.
Well, now this part you were just doing. What do we ever find out, Brian? What Zion referred to?
Right, and this is what I just said, Bob. Did you hear what I said as well? It's repeated. That exact same verse is repeated in Isaiah 37:32.
Wow, that's a Don Thiel method. He used to repeat whole paragraphs later in a book. Writers don't need to do that.
Isaiah is the essence of the obsolescing and retrieval.
Oh, okay. Which psalm is this, Sasha?
No, it wasn't the psalm. The one I just
Isaiah.
Read was psalm.
Yeah, what number? Psalm, what number?
37:32.
97.
37:32.
Yeah,
so
now I said...
37.
Oh, yeah. 97, 32. Okay, chapter 90. Chapter 97. Hold on. Chapter 97?
37, 7.
Oh, 37. Okay. And what number? I'm not trying to get... What verse?
What, Bible?
What? I'm not trying to get attention, okay? Okay.
Just tell him what page number it's on.
Yeah. Which verse? Which verse, Sasha?
Hey, Bob.
Come on, I'm there. Look, 37. Which verse? Quick.
Send him a link.
I'll get bored. Which fucking verse is it?
It's like 22, but there's a 3 in front of the other two. 32.
The wicked watch the righteous and seek at the... No, that can't be it. I'm in...
It's not in Habakkuk, Bob. It's not in Habakkuk.
I'm in Psalms, chapter 30. Hey, Karen, do you know what it is?
A good king.
Yeah. I'm in Psalms, chapter 37, right, Sasha? Is that the right place?
No, Isaiah.
Well, we were talking Psalms a minute ago.
Well, we moved on, Bob. That was a long time ago.
Okay, Steve and Barbara and Sue, I sent you looks like the best Bible reference. It's really beautiful the way it's laid out. If you can find a better one, let me know, but it's pretty good.
Well, if you find one Bob can keep up and find in, it's even better.
So what is this? I'm out of Psalms. Where am I heading?
Isaiah.
Okay.
Carolyn, do we do Isaiah? Yes, Bob, we do Isaiah, yes. Okay.
Number 37?
Yeah,
the
37, 32.
32.
In Isaiah.
And for other juices, holy shit, look at that. They repeat it. What's with that, Ion?
What? Go a little. It's obsolescing and retrieval. You got to go a little bit above it to get the reference.
Yeah, now what's interesting is of hosts is not italicized in this version. So is this the later one or the earlier one?
It's the retrieved one. It's the one coming.
Yeah, see that? You wouldn't have noticed that, Sasha. I noticed that the of host was italicized in the previous one.
Well,
I probably would have, but I think it's important, Bob.
Well, if Sasha was pushing us just to give her a candy-coated answer, and we were trying to push it because we knew that if we'd have just spouted it off, it would have gone by the way of all good things. It would have been chunked in a bucket.
So what happened? We got Sasha to find it?
Gods started ferreting it out for themselves, then it applies.
Well, the key is, what is Zion? What do you got on that, Sasha? What is Zion so far?
Let's just get back to what Ion said. We haven't got to Zion yet. And what Ion just said was that the reason that this is being retrieved we haven't gone through the previous Isaiah chapter and verse. That's Isaiah 9:7, which says of the of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
I now know why I was drawing my attention. This is about me.
Well, everything is, Bob.
No, this is particularly about this Bob, not your Bob.
Well, we did everything but choke it down your throat.
Yeah, see, Sasha? It's something to do with me, Sasha.
We done woke Brian up twice.
Now, what does it mean to say it's about me? Because this Bible is about every one of us. So why? What is the ratio? It is about me. Okay. So what do you make of that, Sasha? Did you figure out how this is about me?
Well, she's not through. Now number 3. Number 4.
I can help you. The key is the increase of his government. There shall be no end. That's what we're building here.
Yeah. I know that.
Okay, so where are we next?
So the next reference after that is the classic Isaiah 59:17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak.
Oh, sorry, I went to Isaiah 59. Did I get that wrong?
Yeah, 59:17. That'd be
oh, okay, 59:17. And for he put on the righteousness. Was we getting to the sword of your shoulder or something? You know.
Oh, wait a minute, Sasha. Keep going in the concordance till we get to the tip of Bob's penis. And you know
you're there. The good tip.
And surround yourself with the tip of Bob's penis.
Where he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. Notice the italicizing. For clothing.
Maybe the zeal, the cloak of zeal is like your RNA drops condom thing.
I was just going to say that. Exactly. So we're on the same page. I was just going to say, this is the fucking condom.
So please attach yourself to the prophylactic of life.
Caitlin was the first one to mention that on Cash.
Who was the first, bud?
Carolyn was the first one to mention that on Cash Flow.
What, the penis?
No, the condom.
Yes. I had mentioned it privately, but she was the first to broadcast it. Is that right, Carol?
It was always Bob first, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't recall her doing it on the cash flow, but she could have.
Well, it was an off day for you.
Yeah. She had me distracted so she could rip off one of my lines.
What's my line? Petey Carlisle.
So the head of the penis... The helmet on the head of his penis, and he put on the garment of condom vengeance for clothing, and was clad as a joke. Oh, no, that's cloak. And was clad with zeal as a joke.
And the yoke beeth on thee.
Yeah. Well, okay, what do you get out of this, Father?
Well, one of the things I was going to ask you was... Well, actually, tell you what, on the beginning of this page, I'll read this, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not
with
flesh.
The wiles of the devil is less than this.
See, I thought you said Ephesians 6. Where did you lump to?
I did.
Ephesians 6?
Yeah, Ephesians
Carolyn,
6.
Do we do Ephesians? Yes, Bob, we do Ephesians.
Okay, and then what number?
That. You can find that. Go to GE Philco and you can find it.
Which number?
Starting from 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10.
So how did you know to quote this? Is this stuff that he wrote earlier?
Because I've been looking into it.
And you found this sequence on your own?
No.
Oh, you used the concordance.
No, Ion quoted the first time that the armor of God came up.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you're following a sequence
apparently
that Ion gave you.
No, not completely, but this is important.
Thanks to the notes of Joyce.
Right. So we're doing a 10 or 11?
This is a 6, verse 10 through 18.
And before we go through it, are you going, because it talks about the whole armor of God, that's why we're going here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against Brian's favorite word of the week, principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Now, this is this quote. I mentioned Nelson Thal on the Cash Flow Day. This is the quote that Nelson Thal always said on the radio with me, and he was always quoting Herbert W. Armstrong. This was the main quote on Sunday from the Worldwide Church of God. This is the only scripture I knew before I met Ion. We wrestle, I used it in many interviews, but I was thinking of it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that's Rai, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That was Bob Marshall's mandate in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
doing it, acting, not wrestling against flesh and blood, wrestling against the lack of perception.
Or the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Yeah. Where's that line?
Keep going.
It's further down. Okay, this is the whole armor of God.
Keep going now. Five.
Five, the concordance with the Isaiah 63. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sending of thy bowels and that of thy mercy is toward me.
That was Isaiah what?
Strength.
That's how you said. Hey, Greg. Gregola.
Yep.
That's how you get your megahertz frequency, baby.
Yeah, what's that? Isaiah what, Sasha?
63:15.
63.
Yeah.
15.
Can you read that, Sasha?
Hey, got Chad. Sorry. You got maybe Chad interested too, but he got Greg going.
Isaiah 63:15. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies to me, are they restrained?
Now, Sue, Barbara, and Steve, there's no way you get Hertz, Megatude, whatever the hell Ion just said from this. Either Ion is just really good at making this stuff up, or it wasn't written properly.
You think?
We'll see, but like, there's no indication, Greg, here of this stuff, right?
Well, it could
the sounding of thy bowels. Oh, the sounding of thy bowels. I see.
I'm thinking
the old farted play.
If I have a really good bowel movement in the morning, everything will work in my life.
Yeah, that's the megahertz of what? The shoulder of humor?
The tip of penis
exactly.
Of Bob.
The penis of poise? No, what is it, Greg?
When they're referencing balls there, is that literal? Or, you know, I'm thinking of the bowels of the earth, or what was...
Grounding.
Okay.
And which megahertz was this? The one for love, or weather, or what? Which one was it?
The one that you put one probe in your mouth and the other one in your
brain. What's that, Greg?
Well, Ion, if you were to, when you refer to grounding, you know, any time you're measuring...
That's the only way you can gauge a transistor frequency of electricity is by a ground. Otherwise, it's just
ground.
Static.
Right.
So, Greg, which hertz are we talking about? You know, Ginny lists off about 3 hertz. Which one is this?
Well,
Patty hertz, Bob. Patty hertz.
Patty hertz.
If you were to measure the distance of a person with their feet grounded, or a person, say, in an apartment building where they're not grounded, what I hear you saying is the grounding is an important part to understand the circuit.
Of course, because that's what you're asking about within a vibrational proximity is within a closed circuit.
Yeah, but what words in verse 15 indicate that?
Bob, how many...
Well, the whole thing, though, Bob, like, look...
Can you embrace and get a question out?
Oh, yeah, look, behold from the habitation of thy wholeness. Okay, I get that.
Yeah, where is thy zeal and
thy
strength?
Thy rabbit wholeness.
This is the mellowing excitement that RNA drops create.
The sounding of the groundedness as well, and that.
Right. So, what megahertz does RNA drops put one's body in, Ion?
As Virginia.
6.314, that was the resonance that Virginia spoke about, Bob, earlier, of the perfect cell.
No, that's the perfect cell, okay.
So, RNA drops have this frequency. You take the RNA drops in, and because it's a dominant frequency, all of the frequencies of the cells in your body have to start resonating with it. Because it's a dominant frequency, or because of, I mean, what's, I'm trying to understand
it's,
the mechanics
of
why.
What's
dominant,
the power?
It's not, it's predominant. If you put your, take your body, your meat sack body, and you put in a tub of water that's 50 degrees, the temperature then becomes predominantly 50 degrees, and your core temperature will meet the pool of water.
You mean your body becomes 50 degrees? Is that what you just said?
It'll get lesser.
That's what it sounds like, Bob. Yes. So what happens is because
Welcome.
Of the frequency. So because of the okay, well, I'm using the word dominant again. You don't seem to be jiggy on that word.
It's not dominant. It's perfect, because if you start doing dominant, you're going to find out that you really came out of some monkey's butthole.
You're back into RH again.
Right.
Okay. Hold on with this.
Predominant.
So, RNA.
We okay with that.
Predominant is a resonant tuning fork tune.
Right. So
Carolyn,
RNA
do we
is
do
a
forks?
Fork. So RNA is a tuning fork, and when it's taken in the body, it's still it's resonating. It's giving off a frequency, and all of the cells in your body respond to that frequency because it's a perfect frequency. There's no resistance.
It's like that famous image. You put a magnet or something under a glass, and all the little filings of iron line up.
Good. That's good, Bob. Yeah. Okay. Got that.
Yeah, and you put it in your cushion, then you'll have really good shit.
Okay. Yes, and I'm sure douching with RNA would probably be a great contraceptive. But back to the whole frequency.
Contraceptive?
Not a chance.
Minoxidil.
Well, pH. It's a very little pH, and wasn't vinegar used at some point as a contraceptive? And vinegar has a very low pH. That was the thread I was putting together.
Well, so a needle pulling thread. Yeah, it's pretty weak, because then you have to get to levels and degrees of acidity. And Dr. Dean has written many books regarding acidity in the gut and GERD and BIP and SNP and TIP and all that stuff, and it's very significantly
important. So, Ion,
important.
I was sweating the other day, and the sweat that went into my eyes was especially stinging, and I was going to try to carry some pH strips with me and see where the pH of my sweat is. Based on taking RNA, which has a very low pH, and you've referred to neg pH, so is the pH of my body in the same context that the frequency RNA is perfect?
No, you're becoming salt. You're already light. You're becoming salt.
That's why it was stinging, because of the salt content increasing.
You are becoming salt and light. That doesn't mean you have to get in the unemployment line and be a light worker. You're just becoming light.
And what's the frequency of the light in my body?
Big.
And what's the frequency of the salt in my body?
Salt has no frequency.
What was the first answer, Carolyn? Big? What was big, Greg?
Light. The frequency of light.
He said big.
Big.
Heap 'em big frequency.
That's where the stars are in your eyes. And I think Sasha or somebody said, Carolyn said the stars in your eyes. She's quoting me from the street corner in Halifax, 1975.
Yeah.
She did not come up with that, Sasha. That's my line. Many of Carolyn's lines
bill.
Are from mine.
You were licking a dollar bill.
So the stars in your eyes is indicated by this phrase. The light is huge inside you.
The light is the easiest way, one of the easiest ways, I think, for us to understand frequency. So
maybe.
You know?
No, if you...
Those wavelengths are shifting, and that's the reason we aren't specific, because it's changing, you see. And if we got specific, then you'd prove us wrong, and we're sick of that shit.
So is it going up as in megahertz, gigahertz, terahertz, or is it going down in megahertz?
Up as in picklehertz.
Picklehertz.
All right, close your deal, picklehertz.
Ion, did you just say that salt has no frequency?
We did.
That's what I said.
Now, hold on just a minute.
Hold on.
Brian's come back to sleep.
Hold on. Brian's the cop.
Everything has a frequency.
Salt does not have a frequency. All salt can do is lose its saltiness. Salt.
So that's why it's the only thing with light. Light has the frequency of everything, contains everything, and then salt doesn't. So it's like the antimatter of light, even though that term may not be appropriate, but it is the other, the great other. They have something, you got to have the other.
If salt had a frequency, it wouldn't cure a ham.
If salt had a
frequency. I'm wondering today all day why you kept doing the Virginia ham thing.
Yeah. See, he's always talking about rewrite on cash flow, and the audience doesn't know.
I know. Wow. That's because I even Wikipedia'd Virginia ham. I was like, there's got to be something.
The young mind, eager to know.
Ion, if salt draws water out of ham and it's not frequency-based, then what is the mechanisms that causes salt to draw water out of ham and out?
Well, salt.
It's a void. It's a vacuum. It's the other.
No, it isn't. Do not miss this.
No, it isn't. It gets all uptight. No, it isn't. No, goddamn way.
Don't mess this up. Just don't mess this up.
That's a good idea.
You can tear it up in a minute. You can tear it up in a minute. But, okay, now, salt being without frequency has an effect on anything it's mixed with regarding its potential for hydrogen.
Okay.
So if the potential for hydrogen is at such a pH, is at such, it would absolutely draw not water, but it would draw the hydrogen. So the oxygen is left, remember?
Yep.
As ambient.
Oh, so it breaks up the water bonding. Okay.
There you go. Now that's real good. That's real good if you get that.
Okay, so we got that iron. So, Greg, could you repeat what you got?
All right. Bob, come on. He was on a roll. Jeez.
No. We got to get where we got. You don't want to just surf the wave.
Greg, if you could at least catch us up to what you've got, because I'm with Bob.
I apologize. To me, it was obvious. Sorry. Okay, sodium chloride, if it doesn't have a frequency, then it's a bonding attraction to the hydrogen in water, so it frees up the oxygen, only attracting the hydrogen due to its potential for hydrogen, which is a reference to pH.
Oh.
That's what I heard. So if it bonds up the oxygen, then the meat dehydrates, so to speak, because it's bringing up the H2O molecule and allowing the oxygen to be free. Well, it can't be moisture. It can't be water anymore then.
And what began that process?
Salt.
The frequency of salt.
Salt.
The non-frequency. And so what was it, say again, that the salt had something or didn't have something?
Doesn't have a frequency.
The salt has no frequency, but it has an affinity to hydrogen. So when you put salt with meat, it attracts the hydrogen and releases the oxygen, dehydrating the meat.
If it had a frequency.
That's why hydrogen 7 will be good for us.
What'd you say, Barbara? That's why hydrogen would...
That's why hydrogen-197 will be good for us.
Will be good for us? I don't think that's true. Is it, Ion, that H197 will be good for us?
Absolutely going to be delicious to you.
Yes, because
hey, Bob,
of the because of the stabilizing. Are you leaving out the stabilizing factor?
There is no, we're not, because it makes no difference.
What?
If you take a bucket of water and you add as much salt as you can saturate it with, then you throw Carolyn's white stone in it, you'd think it would eliminate the salt. Well, actually, what it does is it increases the salt until the salt is eliminated.
Okay, but what's the H197 got to do with that? Are you saying that
we're becoming salt and light because of our name?
No, we already are salt and light.
No,
we already are salt.
You are not. You think you are, and you don't even know what you're talking about.
No, we're salt and light in the eternal. You can't play that game. We are already ascended and have the salt and light.
Well, then you should already know the answer to that question then.
Well, I might, but we have to see what happens when we speak it again.
Your salt is increasing, Bob. You're becoming more
in
salty.
In our bodies.
Yeah, that's why you're more buoyant in the water, Bob.
I'm more buoyant, right.
Started.
Yeah.
But, so the H197, when you say we are going to find it delicious, what's the reason for that?
Because you're more salty.
Okay, so what's the stabilizing of H197? Is a different issue?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Bob, it started with me asking, why did my eyes burn bad when sweat went into it? I thought it was pH, and Ian said, no, it's because of the salt is increasing in your body, just like when you go in the ocean. If you're not used to ocean water, it burns your eyes, and after a couple of swims, you're used to it. So the salt in my body, our bodies are all increasing because of the RNA we're taking.
Yeah. And this is why we won't be affected with like the radiation or the H197, because we're taking the RNA drops, but it will affect
us. You're going to use it. That's going to become nutrition. And, hey, Deb, that's why you want extra salt when you have your big old salty dog, honey.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. But extra salt makes it even better.
So Barbara...
I've been eating a lot of bacon, yeah, which is very weird for me.
Good for
you. No, I've had to increase my salt intake since RNA. I woke up, with leg cramps, and they can be just excruciating.
No. The lactic acid held up in your muscles.
Well, why would you have to eat more salt?
Because he's trying to keep up with his increase of saltiness, Bob.
Oh, okay, so you're increasing saltiness on the frequency level? Or the what level?
Salt has no frequency.
No frequency. So why would you need more salt, Greg, when you're getting salt from the RNA drops?
You're not getting salt from the RNA drops.
You're craving it.
That's the last thing I get from RNA.
You're becoming
salt.
Salty.
Become desirous of salty.
Yes.
You're not becoming saltier. You're not becoming saltier.
Would the salt and light be like the 0-1?
It would.
Yeah, that's good.
0-1.
So 0 would be salt because it has no frequency.
Yes.
Correct.
But if you're feeling the RNA drops, you require salt. You're not becoming saltier. You require salt because the RNA requires salt.
No. Because you're becoming salt and light. Now, if you're going to say it correctly, we hope you may one day. RNA would be an example of light.
RNA drops or RNA?
RNA drops.
An example of eating light.
Yes, very good. It's
yay!
Your body is the salt portion of it. So I had to increase my salt intake to balance out the light.
The expanded light. Yeah, in other words, you did not, your body is the zero, is the salt. If anything has salt, your body has. And if the more light comes in, you need more salt, right? That's what we're saying?
So if someone were suffering from, say, hypertension, That seems to be the logical progression to balance your in excess of sodium intake, isn't it?
Ian, what would be the first date you mentioned the salt and light stuff in my sessions with you going back to the beginning?
11.
Yeah, that would be like in April.
11.
You mentioned the salt and light, and of course I ignored it.
Before a tale of tea. That was like even before a tale of tea, Bob.
Yeah. What would tea refer to?
It's what that you do when you have enough hydration.
Oh, okay. So what would tea be? What was it symbolic of?
Tea.
What kind of tea?
Urination.
Urine, raw sewage.
Ew.
So the sweat in my body would go at almost 130% salt content. It's super saturated with salt.
Why are you, Greg, you saying you are super saturated, you will be?
He's drowning worms now, Bob.
What does that mean? That means you're not getting any worse?
It was a good try, though.
Hey, Greg, what's the premise? You're saying you're going to get too much salt?
Well, it was
a joke. You were making a joke, Greg?
No, it was a private joke in making reference to an experiment I did based on.
Oh, okay.
It's the essence of lead balloons. 263.5% exactly to answer your damn question.
Yeah, another thing that, as people outsiders say, Ian says stuff that you can't verify.
Yes, you can. If you desire it, we'll tell you how to spell strong, and you can find a concordance for your very self, Bub.
Okay.